Chapter 6. Healthful Weight Control. If you have been aiming to lose weight, let me show you the steps that make the process as easy, effective, and permanent as possible. For anyone, but especially for people with diabetes, eliminating unwanted pounds is tremendously important. For starters, it boosts your insulin sensitivity. The more body fat you trim away, the more responsive your cells are to insulin. This is especially true for fat around your waistline. Weight loss also brings down your cholesterol and blood pressure, and when you've trimmed away body fat, exercise is that much easier and more inviting. Your joints, especially your knees, will thank you. Needless to say, there are a great many ways to lose weight. The American Diabetes Association, ADA, diet guidelines work for some people, but others find the approach a real challenge because it relies on calorie limits. If you normally eat 2,000 calories per day, for example, the ADA recommendations would limit you to 1,500, and that gets old very fast. If you're hungry at 8 in the evening and you've already had your 1,500 calories for the day, you will go to bed hungry. That will never happen on the program recommended in this book. Low-carbohydrate diets are potential disasters for anyone, but especially for people with diabetes. They often bring short-term weight loss, but most of the weight quickly returns. Low-carb diets also have wildly unpredictable health effects. In research studies, as many as one-third of low-carb dieters have shown a significant increase in LDL, bad cholesterol. Some have had such high cholesterol levels that they have been forced to drop out of studies. What's more, low-carb diets are usually high in protein. The animal protein that is commonly emphasized in these diets can be hard on your kidneys. Harvard researchers traced kidney function in 1,624 women participating in the Nurses' Health Study, focusing especially on those who had any loss of kidney function at the start of the study. It turned out that the more animal protein the women consumed, the more kidney function they lost. Given that about 40% of people with diabetes have already lost some kidney function, it makes good sense to protect yourself from further damage. I strongly caution against any diets that recommend high-protein foods. As you have seen, such diets are based on the outdated idea that avoiding carbohydrates is the key to glucose control. As you know by now, populations that make rice, noodles, and other carbohydrate-rich foods their diet staples actually have had very little obesity and very little diabetes. Low-carb diets can cause weight loss over the short run, but there are far healthier ways to achieve that goal and to make weight loss last over the long run. Say no to low-carb diets. Weight loss lowers cholesterol levels. On average, each pound you lose lowers your cholesterol level about 1 point, that is 1 milligram per deciliter, or 0.3 millimole per liter. So most weight loss diets have a side benefit of improving your cholesterol test results. The exception is low-carbohydrate diets. They are so high in fat and cholesterol that they increase cholesterol levels for about 1 in every 3 dieters, some of whom have eventually experienced wildly high cholesterol levels and serious heart disease symptoms. There is no good reason to begin any low-carbohydrate, high-protein diet. A healthy approach to weight loss focuses on choosing the right kinds of foods, not on the quantity of food you eat. When you have the right foods on your side, the calories and portions fall into line on their own, and weight loss is almost automatic. A weight loss diet that works. In 2005, my research team published the results of an important study that tested a new and powerful approach to weight loss. The participants were women with moderate to severe weight problems. Most had tried many different diets: low-calorie diets, low-carb diets, Weight Watchers, the cabbage soup diet, and just about everything else. Like most people, they had found these diets tough to follow, and whatever weight they lost soon returned. Our approach was very different. It did not include calorie counting, limits on portions or carbohydrates, or even an exercise prescription. For research purposes, we wanted to isolate the effects of diet. The participants lost weight easily, averaging about 1 pound per week, week after week after week. When we used a similar diet in people with diabetes, we found much the same thing. In a 12-week study, the average participant lost 16 pounds. So how does it work? First of all, it is important to understand where the calories are hiding in the food you eat. A chicken stores extra calories in chicken fat. A cow stores calories in beef fat. A fish stores them in fish fat. Body fat, in humans or animals, is a calorie storage system. If you were to remove a bit of fat from a drumstick or chicken wing and send it to a laboratory, you would find that a gram of fat, that's 1/28 of an ounce, has 9 calories. That's a lot. It is more than double the calories in a gram of carbohydrate, the starch in rice, beans, or sweet potatoes, for example. Carbohydrates have only 4 calories per gram. Small wonder that people who make rice and other plant foods their staples tend to stay slim. Throughout Asia and rural Africa, rice and other grains, root vegetables, and various legumes are the traditional foundation of the diet. These foods are filling, but have relatively few calories. Of course, it's a different story in North America and Europe, where meals feature meat and dairy products, which contain the very fat that animals have used to store their excess calories. Weight problems are the all-too-common result. If you want to avoid taking in extra calories, you would do well to avoid eating the concentrated calories that animals have hidden away in their body fat. Thus, step one is to avoid animal products. If you do that, you will, of course, avoid animal fat completely. Step two is to keep vegetable oils to a minimum. Beans, grains, vegetables, fruits, and most other foods from plants have very little fat. There are a few exceptions, however. Nuts, seeds, olives, avocados, and some soy products are high in fat. Keep them to a minimum as well. Be especially careful about vegetable oils used in cooking or in salad dressings. Now, some people argue that plant oils are more healthful than animal fats, and it's true that they are much lower in saturated fat, the kind that raises cholesterol levels and is linked to breast cancer and insulin resistance. When it comes to weight problems, however, animal fats and vegetable oils are essentially all the same. They all pack in 9 calories per gram. Step 3 is to focus on high-fiber foods. A grain of brown rice, for example, has a thin cloak of fiber surrounding the grain that gives the rice its tan color. To produce white rice, manufacturers strip away this coating. But you are better off if it is left intact. Fiber, which was once called roughage, fills you up so you feel naturally satisfied after a meal. As you heard in Chapter 4, each 14 grams of fiber added to your daily menu cuts calorie intake by about 10% on average. That simply means that high-fiber foods fill you up faster, so you stop eating sooner. Instead of trying by sheer force of willpower to cut calories, you cut them without even thinking about it. The richest sources of fiber are beans, vegetables, fruits, and whole grains. While breakfast cereal commercials tend to push grains as the best fiber source, you will find much more fiber in beans and most vegetables than in most grains. But they all add up. Aim for at least 40 grams per day. One caveat, if high-fiber foods, especially beans, have not been part of your routine, try gradually upping the amount you eat to give your digestive tract time to adjust. See Chapter 9 for more tips on avoiding digestive problems. In the next chapter, I will show you an easy way to check your fiber intake using the Quick Fiber Check. Okay, let's summarize. To lose weight, you want to avoid animal products, limit the use of vegetable oils, and go high fiber. Vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and beans fit the bill perfectly. Healthy examples. By now, you already have a good idea what this looks like on your plate, because the diet changes for weight loss are very much like those for diabetes. Breakfast might start with veggie sausage or veggie bacon, that is, faux meats made of soy or wheat, followed by a big bowl of oatmeal or perhaps some fresh fruit. You would skip bacon, eggs, and ordinary bagels, which are stripped of fiber. Lunch could be a sandwich made with sliced tomato, lettuce, and veggie deli slices on rye. A pasta salad would be fine, too. For dinner, you might try tomato or split pea soup, followed by a vegetable stir-fry or shepherd's pie filled with chunky vegetables. In the process, you will avoid animal fat, have very little vegetable oil, and get all the fiber in those healthy vegetables. For a between-meal snack, an apple or banana fits the bill nicely, while potato chips or nuts pack too much fat. You will find plenty of fresh ideas in the menus and recipes section found on the bonus disc. Vance. When Vance joined our study, he wanted to get his weight down to 210 to 225 pounds. Since he initially weighed in at 276 pounds, he had a ways to go. He stuck to the diet program, however, not worrying about calories or portions, but paying close attention to the types of food he chose. Everything was vegan and low in fat. Also, in order to give the diet a good test, he agreed not to add any exercise for the first 6 months. The pounds started to come off. 3 months later, he weighed in at 251, a loss of 25 pounds in about 12 weeks. Friends couldn't help but notice, and many asked him what his secret was. After 6 months, he was down to 238. At the 14-month mark, he was at 217. Nancy. Nancy began the study at 197 pounds. Like Vance, she changed her diet but kept her activity level the same to allow us to test what the diet change alone could do. 3 months into the program, her weight was down by 14 pounds. After 6 months, she had lost 25 pounds, and at 14 months, she weighed 155 pounds, a loss of 42 pounds without counting calories. Foods that work magic. These simple foods have surprising effects. Not only do they help you trim hundreds of calories off your daily menu, they also cause a fundamental change within the cells of your body. As you learned in Chapter 2, clinical tests have shown that they increase your body's after-meal calorie burn. The reason is this: as you change your diet, your insulin sensitivity begins to improve. That means that glucose has an easier time entering your cells to be burned for energy rather than continuing to circulate in your blood. The after-meal calorie burn is small, but it lasts for about 3 hours after each meal, giving you an extra edge for losing weight. Not exactly health food. A few years ago, I was running a study on diet and weight loss and found that a couple of our participants were chowing down on Twizzlers, the red candy that comes in long twists like licorice. When I asked why they were eating candy, they pointed out that the product is both vegan and low in fat. And sure enough, there's a friendly message printed on a package of Twizzlers strawberry twists. Did you know strawberry twists are low-fat candy? That's right. The same great-tasting Twizzlers you have known and loved are low in fat, as always. Nothing has changed. A look at the ingredients list shows that indeed nothing has changed. The corn syrup, flour, sugar, cornstarch, partially hydrogenated soybean oil, salt, and artificial flavor are all still there. Like other candies, it is basically a sugary concoction containing nothing that your body even remotely needs. Without any fiber to fill you up, foods like this can really pack in the calories. If you find Twizzlers or other sugary candies on your shelf, it helps to remember the third guideline in this program. We choose foods that are not only vegan and low in fat, but also low GI. Sugar is nowhere near as high in calories as fat, but it still provides more calories than you need. Using volumetrics. Barbara Rolls, Ph.D., a researcher at Pennsylvania State University, has proposed an innovative way of thinking about appetite control called volumetrics. Her studies have looked at what triggers satiety, the sense of fullness after meals, and shown how to plan meals to bring on a feeling of satiety earlier. Surprisingly, what makes us stop eating does not seem to be the number of calories we have ingested, nor is it the number of grams of carbohydrate or protein in a meal. Rather, it is the weight of food we have taken in. It is as if your stomach has a scale, and once it registers a certain number of grams of food, it signals your brain that you've had enough. We all tend to eat roughly the same weight of food each day. If your meals do not add up as they normally do, your appetite guides you to have a little more. There's an effective weight loss strategy in there. If the foods you eat contain a fair amount of water, soups or fruit, for example, they are heavy enough to tip your stomach scale and reduce your appetite. Because the weight of these foods comes mainly from water, which has no calories, they tend to cut your total calorie intake for the day. Dr. Rolls uses the term energy density to describe how many calories are packed into a food. A food that has a lot of water has a low energy density, that is, it has very few calories per pound. If it helps to favor foods that hold water, what would be some good choices? Here are a few. Soups. These are filling but generally low in calories. Favor clear, low-sodium soups rather than creamy varieties. Salads. Add tomatoes, chickpeas, cucumbers, peppers, and other vegetables to make a salad into a meal while keeping it low in calories. Use fat-free dressing, lemon juice, or apple cider vinegar rather than regular oily dressings. Fruits. Apples, oranges, and pears are heavy compared to other foods and have few calories. Vegetables. Vegetables of virtually any variety are good choices. Adding chunky vegetables to salads and casseroles increases their volumetric power. Bean dishes. Think of chili and casseroles. And whole grains. Rice beats rice cakes. Pasta beats bread. In each case, one is water-based in filling while the other is airy and not filling at all. Including these foods generously in your menu will accelerate your weight loss. One important caveat, for some reason, simply drinking water will not turn off your appetite. Your stomach apparently reacts differently to heavy foods which trigger an appetite shutoff than to a drink of water which does not. Dr. Rolls proved this with an interesting experiment. She invited volunteers to eat a bit of casserole as an appetizer and then measured how much lunch they ate afterward. In her experiment, the volunteers consumed an average of about 400 calories at lunch. If they ate the casserole appetizer along with a glass of water, they again ate about 400 calories at lunch. In other words, adding the glass of water did not change anything. In a third test, however, she stirred the glass full of water into the casserole to make soup. When she measured the participants' calorie intake afterward, she found it was cut to less than 300. The soup tricked their stomachs into shutting off their appetites. While foods that contain water as a major ingredient are good, there are other foods that are not so good. You will want to steer clear of those that are rich in either fat or air. Fatty foods, such as meat, cheese, potato chips, and onion rings, are filling, but they pack a lot of calories. As you recall, fats have 9 calories in each gram. Airy foods, such as Melba toast, pretzels, and bread, are not especially high in calories, but they will not fill you up either. You can eat serving after serving of these foods without feeling full. The idea is to have a food that is low in calories and filling. Good volumetric choices. Here are some tips for reducing the energy density of your meals. Choose fresh fruit or old-fashioned oatmeal for breakfast. Add chunky vegetables to salads and use fat-free dressing, lemon juice, or vinegar. For soups, choose broth-based, not cream-based varieties. For snacks or dessert, enjoy fresh rather than dried fruit, Remember that fruit is better than crackers or pretzels. Add chunks of zucchini, squash, peppers, onions, or eggplant to sauces or pizza. There's an easy way to check the energy density of commercial food products. Just take a look at the label. If one serving has fewer calories than grams, it's a good choice. For example, the label on a can of black beans shows that a serving has 90 calories and weighs 122 grams, so the beans are a good choice. They are a volumetric food. Black beans, nutrition facts. Serving size, half cup, 122 grams. Servings per container, approximately 3.5. Amount per serving, calories 90, calories from fat 5. A can of spinach has 30 calories and 115 grams per serving, so it's also a winner. Each of these foods has less than 1 calorie per gram, so the weight of the food fills you up before the calories fill you out. What about skinless chicken breast? One serving has 173 calories and weighs about 100 grams, 3.5 ounces. Not a good choice. Aside from not being vegan or particularly low in fat, 23% of calories, it has far more calories than grams. A slice of bread may have 80 calories and weigh 32 grams. It has few calories, but is very lightweight, so it is not filling. With more calories than grams, it is not especially helpful for weight loss. I am not suggesting that you use volumetrics in place of other diet guidelines in this book. Use it in addition to this program to ramp up the weight loss power of your new menu. Volumetrics will help you pick from among the allowed foods those that are the most filling with the fewest calories. Again, the idea is simply to reduce the energy density of the foods you eat by choosing those that naturally contain a fair amount of water to fill you up and shut off your appetite. What to expect? Everyone loses weight at his or her own pace. In our studies, using low-fat vegan diets, weight loss averages about 1 pound per week. In turn, each pound you lose tends to reduce your cholesterol level by an average of about 1 milligram per deciliter. Adding exercise can increase the pace, depending on your regimen. You may find that you lose weight, then reach a plateau, and stay there for a while. If that happens, see if there is something in your diet you can change, such as eliminating hidden sources of oil or boosting your fiber intake. Our bodies seem to have different plateaus depending on the fat content of our foods. That is to say, if you drop the fat content slightly, your weight will probably drop a bit, then plateau. If you drop the fat content more, you will drop down to a new plateau. The same thing works with fiber. Do a quick fiber check, and if you're not up to 40 grams per day, try adding more beans, vegetables, fruits, and whole grains to your diet. You'll find that the combination of steering clear of fats and bringing in fiber helps trim away the pounds. Take your time. If you have gradually gained weight over the years, let it come off gradually. Don't starve yourself in hope of instant results. If you are on an optimal diet and are physically active, nature will take its course. As the weeks go by, you will not only be slimmer, you will also be healthier. Your cholesterol and blood pressure are likely to fall along with your blood glucose. As always, stay in close touch with your doctor so your medication doses can be revised as you regain your health.